Welcome back to the Voices from the Frontline segment on KPFK, 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. Today we're going to be joined for our third segment by one of my friends that's helped me a couple times protect my rights, put it that way, Jim Lafferty, who is also a host on the National Loyal Girl Show on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Jim?
Hello.
Hi. I'm going to remain silent. I want to speak to my lawyer.
Good advice. You got it.
So those are some of the key things we're going to be talking about a little bit later. Jim, what I wanted to start you off talking about is the escalation that we've seen,
yes,
in repression from, say, the WTO in Seattle,
yes,
to what we should be, you know, what's going to be happening in New York for the RNC that's coming up next week.
Yes. Well, one example, I suppose, of how far we've escalated is that it was possible to get permits. They were violated, but at least it was possible to get permits for marching in the streets of Seattle. And now we know, as of this morning again, a federal court has denied a permit to the Answer Anti-War Coalition and others. So far, the United for Peace and Justice has also not been given a permit to march in Central Park. The court, in essence, was more concerned with killing the grass than killing the First Amendment, and literally said this morning that all those people in the grass at Central Park might damage the grass. Of course, we've had far more people at Central Park for Simon and Garfunkel concerts. We had nearly a million there in 1982 for the anti-nuclear protest. So that's an example of how it's here we are, and Central Park is miles away from Madison Square Garden, and they're not willing to give a permit for anyone to march and have a rally even that far from the convention hall. We had to go to court here in 2000 to get the right to protest in front of Staples Center at the time of the Democratic Party convention. We were able to get it. That was pre-9/11. One wonders now. So the erosion of our civil liberties, our right to protest, our right to peacefully assemble and petition the government has dramatically been curtailed through the Patriot Act, through executive orders, and through the general climate of repression that has begun to settle over this country in the last several years.
So can you tell us how, like, where in Seattle, what the situation was in terms of repression, how cops reacted?
Well, of course, and that we continue to see, this notion that the police can use, quote-unquote, less lethal weapons, rubber bullets, bean bags, percussion grenades, and what have you, which in fact can cause death and have caused serious injuries here in L.A. and in Seattle and in Miami and all sorts of places. The police rioted in Seattle, essentially. A few people may have thrown some rocks through a Starbucks window, but it was nothing compared to what the police did. They rioted again in Miami and brutalized many people in Miami, and the courts have so held. You know, courts generally, as a society becomes more repressive, are the last hope of the people. And the courts in this country have gotten more conservative, but there still is some justice to be found some days in court. We just saw this morning in federal court in New York, you couldn't find any. But some of these worst abuses by the police that you're now signaling that took place in Seattle or Miami or at the DNC here in 2000 in L.A. have been redressed by the courts, thank goodness. But the fact that the police feel free to garner that kind of I was just talking to a friend in New York this morning. They now have just purchased, at a cost of $600,000 apiece, a half a dozen SUVs in New York that are mounted with gun turrets. Now, I mean, and they've got these for the Republican National Convention. My friend who lives on the Hudson River can look out of his window and see military boats with guns sitting out in New York Harbor now as we get ready for this convention to start. That's not calculated to prevent acts of terrorism. That's calculated to stifle free speech. I mean, if you've got to go past an SUV with gun turrets on it with your family in order to protest at the Republican National Convention, you might think twice. And, of course, that's what the Republicans want you to do. I think, by the way, if I may, the other things the Republicans are hoping for is that by denying permits for lawful, peaceful protest in New York City, they're leaving people no choice if they wish to protest, but perhaps do so in violation of the law, which will then be portrayed on the media, of course, as evidence that the pro-Kerry forces, the anti-Bush forces, are riotous and unlaw-abiding people and so forth, and that will inure to the benefit of George Bush.
So basically what you're saying is if they don't kill us with the guns, they'll kill us with the SUVs and global warming.
Like SUV. Oh, that's right.
So that was an interesting point that you were saying in terms of giving people no choice. And then, so that's one of the, I think, the debates that we've been hearing about is how far to actually push this.
Well, you know, and that is being debated right now. I just saw a press release from the leaders of United for Peace and Justice indicating that they were not going to go hold their rally on the West Side Highway. They were going to hold their march, which they have a permit for, and they were not, if they don't get...
Why don't you tell us where the West Side Highway is, because that's...
The West Side Highway is, if, for those who don't live in New York or haven't lived in New York, is some miles. It's a, it's an obscure, in the sense that about the only people that could see you, I suppose, would be occasional, I guess the cars that might still be going by the highway, or anybody in a boat out in the Hudson River. But the millions of people that otherwise would be exposed to your message if you demonstrated in New York City could not see you and would not see you. And in fact, it would cost the organizers to have a sound system that could reach 2 or 3 miles long, because that's what a quarter of a million people would do if they're stretched out along the West Side Highway, is about $300,000. And of course, the anti-war movement doesn't have that kind of money. The Republican Party has that kind of money. So that's one problem. But I mean, if you think about it, at the time of our convention here in the Democrats' convention, I should say, here in our city of Los Angeles, the Democrats didn't want us anywhere near the Staples Center. We had to go to court to win the right to be there. Had there been a Central Park here, the Democrats would have been thrilled to see us miles away in Central Park. The fact that a Republican mayor working with a Republican administration in New York does not want the demonstrators to go far away from the convention center, which they're willing to do, but rather forcing them to disband 250,000 people outside of the Madison Square Garden area at the end of their march because they have no place else to go this coming weekend is a sign to me that they're hoping that there'll be unrest that they can lay at the feet of the more liberal forces or the Kerry forces.
Jim, this is Tammy, the other co-host.
Hi, Tammy.
How are you doing?
Good.
So we have understood that New York City's already spent $25 million
yes.
on security for the RNC, and you're headed there, and so are we this
yes.
this week. What should what should activists expect? And in terms of if you're going to be helping folks gear up for legal observers,
yes.
in terms of running up against the police.
One thing activists might want to do right now is go on the Lawyers Guild's website. It's www.nlg-la.org. And then from the homepage, you can see there's references to all sorts of know your rights materials about what to do if the police stop to question you or the FBI or what your rights are as a protester. And so you want to check on that. Basically, if there will be those green hat legal observers that you see in L.A. will be all over New York as well. I'll be one of them. If you see one of us and you think the police have in any way stifled your right to do something which seems peaceful and lawful to you, let us know. We'll be documenting that with cameras and with eyewitness testimony. We'll be interfacing with the police to try to insist that they not do that as well. The news media, of course, will be there. The independent media will be doing it as well. If the police want to question you, you basically need to understand that while you can show identification, you have no obligation to answer questions of the police. If you're not doing anything suspicious, they have no right to simply go into your backpack, you know, just because they think you might have something in your backpack. If there's been nothing that you've done to give them reason to think that, that's your private property, they have no right to search it. And there'll be know your rights materials that are going to be handed out by our legal observers and demonstration monitors all over New York beginning this week. So I think that people that are listening here should be willing to go to New York. They shouldn't go with a sense of fear. They should go with a sense of determination. If we don't exercise our rights to peacefully assemble and protest in the streets, by God, we lose them. We can't be intimidated by either the New York Police Department or by Mayor Bloomberg or by the Republican Party that doesn't want the largest city of America to be open anymore to the Constitution. And that's why tens of thousands of us will be there, and I encourage everyone to come. Be peaceful, be lawful, but do not back down or take a step backwards from your right to do what you have every right to do, and that is protest the actions of your government.
So, Jim, I just wanted to get the key words because I know that it applies for protests against RNC, W2, et cetera. But then also I think a lot of times in daily life, if we're stopped by cops,
yes.
a lot of times people don't know what to say. So what are the things that if a cop, if a police officer stops you, what are you supposed to say?
Well, if they stop you, they're going to ask for your ID. If you have ID, you can show that to them. Any other question they ask you, you do not have to answer. It's as simple as that. Now, each situation is going to be its own. If you're stopped by and driving a car, you may want to ask the officers what's wrong, and he or she may tell you missed a red light or made a wrong left turn or something. Generally speaking, though, that's all you want to say. The less said, the better. Wait until you can contact your lawyer to discuss either the traffic ticket or the citation you may have gotten for picketing or something without a permit or carrying a picket sign that some officer thought was unduly large in terms of the wood stick on it. Whatever the issue might be, know that you do not have to engage in conversations with the police. That's particularly important these days when you have FBI agents all over the country running around, especially the young people who they know are protesters and who may be going to a demonstration either locally or nationally. They ask them, where are you going? What do you expect to do there? Who else do you know is going? You do not have to answer any of those questions. My advice is if an FBI officer knocks on the door, is to close the door in his face, peacefully, of course. Don't hit his face. But my point being, don't discuss the weather. Don't discuss anything. Next thing you know, you'll be suckered into a conversation you may regret, even though you have nothing to hide.
Once you're in that conversation, if you realize that you're talking already,
yes,
you would say, you know, I actually choose to remain silent.
And you can
when
stop at any point. If you do make the mistake of starting a conversation like that, you can stop it at any point and say, I'm not going to talk to you any further until I've talked to my attorney. And the FBI agents will sometimes then say to you, oh, you have nothing to hide. What are you worrying about? We don't need to get an attorney into this. We're just chatting here. You're not the target of any investigation. Doesn't matter. I could cite dozens and dozens of nice law-abiding people in this town who then made the mistake of continuing to talk to the FBI, and boy, do they wish they didn't.
So I know you've done a lot of trying to get the word out around the Patriot Act and the executive orders. And my mom, actually, last night when I was over visiting with her, she says to me, she goes, did you hear that Ted Kennedy got stopped from flying?
Right.
And it was like three times, right?
Yeah, three times, yeah.
So is that from the Patriot Act? Is that from this increase?
It's part of the whole atmosphere.
Senator Ted Kennedy.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right. That's more from the Homeland Security Act. And what's happened, it's often very hard for people to appreciate the extent to which their rights have already been eroded in this country. One of the interesting facts, speaking of the Patriot Act, is if you ask the average American, do you support the Patriot Act, and if you just ask it that way, 80% will say yes. If you ask the average American, do you think the government should know what books you check out of the library, do you think they should be able to listen to your email transmissions, do you think they should be able to search your house without a warrant, do you think this, that, and the other thing, 80 to 90% will say no. So there's a lot of educating that has to be done. What you're talking about now, though, that kind of notion largely about flying and no-fly list, that's largely a creation of the Department of Homeland, so-called Department of Homeland Security.
Is that also on your website, information on that?
I'm not sure there's much on our website about that, although we're constantly updating our website, and if they're not, we probably should.
Okay. Well, I wanted to thank Jim Lafferty. You can check out the website for information about what we're doing or what they're doing at the
www.nlg-la.org.
And Jim, just one quick thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any of the numbers in New York of the National Lawyers Guild or anybody in case something goes down?
Yeah, the main office out of which we'll all be working in New York is 212-679-6018, extension 16. That's 212-679-6018, extension 16.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Thanks to you guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for joining us this week. We'd like to thank our guest, Benjamin Ramos from Pro Libertad, and then we'd also like to thank the teachers and the students from 99th Street Elementary School Collective and Jim Lafferty from the National Lawyers Guild. Shout-outs to our producer, Alan Minsky, our engineer, Ian Johnson. We have music today from Welfare Poets, Omaya, and Oza Motley. Stay tuned. Up next is Beneath the Surface.
You've been listening to Voices from the Front Lines on our public affairs segment here on listener-supported KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, heard on the World Wide Web at kpfk.org. Coming up in a moment will be Beneath the Surface with Susie Weissman, but you can also hear at the same time, broadcast on KPFTX. .org, a Pacifica National board meeting, a special board meeting by teleconference today at 5 p.m. That's in just moments. The meeting will be webcast and archived once again at kpftx.org. Once again, that's a Pacifica National Board special meeting today at 5 p.m. KPFK also presents Moments with Jim Hightower. Jim will be signing his new book, Stop Beating Around the Bush, tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. in Los Angeles at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church. We'll see you there.